This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Good morning. It's time now for Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast with Reverend Joseph Martin. The church is located 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. You can phone 318-445-4875. And now, here is Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast already in progress.
We will serve him. We will serve him. And while serving him, we're going to serve him faithfully. We're going to serve him joyfully. And we're going to serve him willingly. We're going to have a willingness to serve him. I don't care if it's good times or bad times. We're going to want to serve him. I look back over Peter's life. There was a time when I said that Peter, I didn't think that Peter really, Jesus wasn't the number one thing in his life, even though he said it. It wasn't until Peter's thinking had to be changed. Somebody said, well, Pastor, you got to prove that to me. Sixteenth chapter of the book of Matthew. Jesus had just came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. And he asked those disciples a daunting question. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Peter went on down and they guessed. Somebody say, somebody, you this, you that. And then Peter, the same Peter that he asked this question. The said that thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. I mean, Jesus pat him on the back. He said, Simon Barjona, flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but my Father that is in heaven. And he said, and I give unto you, Peter, keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever thing you loose on heaven and on earth, I'm going to loose in heaven. Whatever thing you bound on earth, I'm going to bound it in heaven. Gave him the keys, put the keys in Peter's hand. And I believe if you just continue to read chapter 16 up there, verse 22 and 23, that same Peter who had just expounded about who he was, Jesus began to tell them how he was going to have to die. That same Peter. And I like the way the King James said he did it. Peter took him. Who won't be Jesus this morning? Brother Kevin, come on up here. You're going to be Jesus. I'm going to be Peter. Now, Jesus has just gave me the highest praise that I want to be. And I'm going, Jesus began to tell me, I got to go, y'all. I'm not going to be here. I got to go and die. I'm dying for the sins of the world. I'm going to die. and I'm going to take him. I'm Peter. I'm big, bad Peter. Come on. You made a mistake. You're not going to die. You're not going to wear and die. Huh, who told you that? And then Jesus had to tell Peter, Peter, get thee behind me. And he knew it was Peter, but he didn't call him Peter, did he? He said, get behind thee, Satan. You know why? Because Peter was thinking just like this world would have thought. You can go sit down. Peter didn't fully love him at that time. Peter knew him. Peter really didn't love him at that time. Because I know y'all remember that time. Y'all remember when Peter, praise God, he would, not only did he rebuke him like that, pull him aside, y'all remember when Peter denied him. Poor Jesus getting ready to go into a trial. Disciples scattered like a bunch of rats on a sinking ship. Peter decides to go into a garden where this young girl happens to be. And this young girl recognized and said, you know, that's one of them that was with him. And Peter said, not me. You got me for mistaken identity. And then a couple of other guys come in and say, yo, oh, that's him. He looked like him. He even got the kind of clothes that they wear. No, not me. Then somebody else come up and say, yeah, I think that's one of them. Go look at him. He got the haircut like them. You could tell Marines by the haircut that they have. He got the haircut. Boy, did the Bible tell me that Peter started cussing like a sailor. And when he began to start cursing and denied him, the light bulb went off in his head. Jesus had already told me. Y'all remember that, Peter? See, at that time, the only love that Peter had, y'all know there are three different words for love. Eros, there's a filio, and then there's agape. At that time, Peter only had filio love for God, for Jesus. Now somebody say, what's that filio love? That filio love is that love that we have one to another. Brothers have to brother. That's where we get the word Philadelphia come from. Filio. The love, and see, that's the type of love will make you, it'll make you go do everything for your brother or your friend. But Jesus was trying to teach them a different type of love. See, filial love, if Deacon Robinson, my ace boon coon, I'm going to lay everything on the line for him. But I don't care too much for you. I'm not going to worry about it. But Jesus was trying to show Peter and them that there was a different type of love. And it's called that agape love. That love that loves where there are no strings attached. That love that loves not only your friend, but it loves the enemy. That's why John, when he writes, records God's word, Jesus' words in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then when you go into verse 17, he said that God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. God did not send Jesus in this world to condemn you, but that the world, that means you, through him might be what? Saved. That's the kind of love that Jesus came to teach to Peter them. So when we say that we love him, we say that it's going to be revealed in our life. Praise God. If we say we love him, praise God, we're going to want to serve him. We're going to want to serve him willingly. We're going to want to serve him faithfully. And we're going to want to serve him, praise God, with our whole heart, soul, and mind. If we love him, we live in a day now where they throw the love word out as though it's but we throw that word out. Man, I love you. Yeah, I like that. Just something to say. I love you. But he asked Peter, do you love me? If you love me, feed my lamb. A lamb is nothing but a young sheep. He's just trying to let us know that we need to take care of all of these young folk. If you love me, he said, feed the lamb one time, but then he said, I want you to feed the sheep twice. We should take care of the body of Christ. We got to feed them the word. We got to take care of them when they are in need. I said need, not greed. We have to be the one. That's what the church is for. I'm going to ask the same question to us today that Jesus asked to Peter and the rest of those disciples. Do you love me more than these? Because if you love him more than these, the things of this world, your life is going to reveal that love. Your life, praise God, is going to reveal the fact that he is going to be first and not last in your life. Your love will show that you're going to serve him. Amen. At whatever the cost. In the fifth, I'm through. Fifth chapter of the book of Acts. After Ananias and Sapphira told that lie and all that, the church is getting established. These apostles, Peter and all of them, were going on doing their thing. And of course, the Sanhedrin got upset. There was a guy that stood up by the name of Gamaliel. Anybody know who Gamaliel was? Gamaliel was a guy, he actually was one of the guys that the Apostle Paul sat under. And Gamaliel made this comparison. He told the Sanhedrin, he said, you know, there was a guy by the name of Theudas, something like that, Theudas. And he said that Thaddeus had about 400 followers. They were talking all this stuff. And guess what? They killed Thaddeus. And the 400 fled. And that little uprising, whatever you wanted to call it, it dissipated. And he said, that was another one by the name of Justus or Judas. I think it might have been Judas, the way he spelled it. They came up. They had a movement. Praise God. And he said, and when Judas was killed, that movement, it dissipated. It went away. Bottom line, what Gamaliel was telling those members of the Sanhedrin, he said that if this movement be of God, praise God, ain't nothing you could do about it. And they tell me that they whipped them boys, put them in jail. But I want you to put, I think think it's Matthew, Acts chapter 5, verse 41 on that board. I want to show you something. I believe it's 41. Acts chapter 5, verse 4. Look what this thing says. After they had been beaten, put in jail, I said that if we're going to serve him, we're going to serve him willingly, didn't I? I said we're going to serve him faithfully. We're going to serve him joyfully. Look what the word say. The word say after they had whipped them, it said, and they departed from the presence of that council. Where they said, rejoicing that they were counted what? Worthy to suffer shame for his name. We observe the ordinance of baptism and the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And I stand here today because many people participate in the Lord's Supper. But do they really understand why? Hopefully when I finish, you will. Do we really understand why? In other words, just what does the Lord's death and the supper, what does it reveal to us? I can stand here today and say, to properly observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, we need to be serious and earnest. And at the same time, have an attitude of joyful celebration. That's what we're here for today. It should be a joyful celebration. You see, remembering an event as significant as the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ should fill us with a spirit of awe and deepest reverence. The ordinance of the Lord's Supper gives us reason to celebrate what he did for us at Calvary while we anticipate his glorious return. And as we do so, we are actually proclaiming the fact of his redemptive death on the cross. And we need to do this, praise God, for our heart good and for the salvation of other people. Amen. So as I look at our text and some other scriptures that I want to expound on this morning, let's see what the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, just what does it reveal to us today? Praise God. I believe I have enough scripture here to pull and show that there's about four things that this ordinance that we are all going to partake of today, there is something that it reveals to us. Praise God. And the very first thing that it reveals to us is that it reveals the awfulness of sin. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, oh neighbor, sin is awful. And Jesus' death reveals the awkwardness of sin. See, can I press my case? scripture after scripture declare that our sins were the reason for the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. There are many scriptures that says that. Praise God. And this may seem strange to somebody in the 21st century who's hearing this for the first time, but it was our sins were the reason why Jesus mounted that cross. It wasn't the Roman soldiers. It wasn't the Pharisees. It wasn't the Sadducees. But it was our sin. Was the reason. Because sin is awful. Let me just give you a couple of scriptures. See, he came here. He came here to mount that cross. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. When Jesus was about to be born, an angel appeared unto Joseph and said these words, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." And look what this is something coming from. "For he shall save his people from their what? From their sins." Sin was awful. And at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, I know everybody in here remember a fellow by the name of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was out baptizing. Praise God. And he was baptizing. I don't know how many he was baptizing. But he had baptized that day. And the Bible tells us on the next day, praise God. Amen. I believe it's John chapter 1, verse 29, if I'm not mistaken. That's it. Look what John the Baptist said. He looked out. And he said, John looked out the next day, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." He saw Jesus coming. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away what? The sin of the world." He came, praise God, my brothers and my sisters, so that he would mount that cross, so that he can take care of our sin problem, because sin was an awful thing, and it still is an awful thing. Apostle Peter, who you recall at one time called himself rebuking Jesus. Oh, y'all remember that? Y'all remember that? All you Bible readers remember that. In the 16th chapter of Matthew, Jesus asked him when he was on the way to Caesarea Philippi, he said, "Who do men say that I am?" And all of them started telling him, they told you Elijah, you this and you that, and you that, you John the Baptist, you all that. But then he asked a pointed question to him, like lawyers. So he said, "And who do you say I am?" Peter stood up and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he declared unto Peter, "Flesh and blood didn't tell you this, but my Father." If you read that, but then you just go head down, Jesus began to tell his disciples and Peter and all the rest of them that he was going to suffer and that he was going to die and that he was going to get up. And Peter calls himself rebuking Jesus. "You're not going to do this. You're not going to do this." And Jesus had to call Peter out of his name. "He just got you calling them Cephas and upon this rock. Now," he said, "get behind me, Satan. Because you talk like somebody that's out of this world." Praise God. And guess what? This same Peter had to later write in his epistle. I want you to look at these words. Praise God. Put, excuse me, yeah. Put Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 and 25. Praise God. Peter had to write these words to those scattered Jews who were scattered at that time because of persecutions. He had the right words of hope. He had the right words of holiness to these people, praise God. But look what he writes. He said, "Who his own self bore our what?
sins in his own body on a tree, that we being dead to sin should what? Live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but thank God, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop. Praise God of your souls. You see, it was at the cross where we were confronted with the fact that each of us is a sinner and in need of God's forgiveness. So as we partake of this ordinance today, this Lord's Supper today, we need to understand that it revealed the evilness of sin. But a second thing that it revealed, it also revealed the greatness of God's love for sinners. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor,